Infendo Radio is on now.
Well, hello everyone.
Hello.
Scared me. I thought I lost you. How are you doing, Chris?
Good.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. And it's just another week. Snowed on Sunday. All weird like.
I'm sick as a dog.
Chris is sick. He got the sickness
bronchitis
from his wife, who gave it to the baby. No, the baby got sick because of the fabric softener.
Yep.
And now we're back to square one.
Yep.
Well, you ready to talk about some video games?
Yep.
All right, so we'll go into start with the news like we normally do. And so Michael Pachter, he was talking about the Wii U, and was saying that he thinks that it's going to be basically Nintendo's Dreamcast. And so let me read you one of the quotes. It says, "I think that, in fact, it's a lot like an Xbox 360 in terms of graphics, frame rate, and control scheme. Probably not going to sell well unless it's priced a lot cheaper, and I don't think they're launching a console at $150. So basically what he's saying is that the console's not going to do well at all. It's just going to die. So what do you think, Chris?
I don't think it's going to be their best-selling console, but at the same time, I think it's still going to survive and definitely keep the company running, and they're going to make a profit from it, for sure. I think going to such an extreme saying that it's like the Dreamcast, where it's just going to peter out and not sell, is not going to happen at all.
Yeah.
If it happens here, it's not going to happen in Japan, that's for sure.
Right, yeah, I mean, Nintendo usually, does some smart things with their video game consoles. I mean, aside from GameCube, which didn't do that well, but it still made a profit, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm ready to get one. I mean, this year,
pack it.
Yeah. This Wii, the Wii U is going to be mine.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's cool that it's coming out. I'm really excited. I do kind of see some of Pachter's points, though, with like him saying how it's very similar to the 360 as far as the control screen and, you know, the amount of processing power and graphics that it puts out. So that's a little bit of a letdown, but I mean, no other company is really incorporating a screen on the controller or, you know, and you know, they're the godfathers of creating, of motion capturing and all that good stuff. So I think that they've got it. They're definitely, you know, they've definitely got some good stuff on there that's going to make him shut his mouth real quick.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, Nintendo is usually pretty pioneer with the things that they do. Like, you look at the Nintendo 64 era, and that, I mean, it had a joystick on there. Nobody had Sega had kind of dallied at the joystick with the Saturn, but it was kind of a big deal. And then Rumble came from Nintendo, and then, you know, Nintendo's done a lot of things, motion gaming, so.
They're like the Apple of the gaming world.
I think Nintendo would like to be Apple right now. Apple has more money than the U.S. government does.
I'd like to be Apple right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, so, yeah, that's about it for that, unless you have anything else to add.
No, Pachter's an idiot.
Yeah.
and he gets money
to make these predictions.
It's so stupid. I wish I had that job. I just pull stuff out of my butt all the time.
Yeah.
World's going to end tomorrow.
Yeah, well, there was that last year, that one dude that had billboards.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that when we drove to E3 and they were all over the street?
Yeah,
That was that day, too, or something like that.
yeah, that's about that. So you want to read the next news?
Sure. GameStop apparently debunked the wild Donkey Kong 3D rumors, and I believe Nintendo's even said something about it. Not like they said it's not, like, happening or whatever. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention to it that much just because I think that they are making some type of Donkey Kong thing for the 3DS, but I just don't think they really want to announce it yet.
Right.
Because they're not too sure where they want to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah, this came out of GameStop, actually. They were, I guess they were, like, console boxes or boxes for the game. I don't know if it was on the website or actually in the store, but yeah, one of our readers tipped us off to this. I don't have the name at the moment, but yeah, it's kind of interesting that GameStop had these out on the shelves and it's not happening. But well, yeah, you know, I've seen stranger things happen, I suppose.
Well, I mean, I remember when Splinter Cell, trying to think which one it was. Is there a Chaos Theory? Does that sound familiar? That's right, right? That's
yeah, one of Chaos them. Theory.
I think it was Chaos Theory. I bought it like 3 days before it came out at a Hastings.
It was just sitting there?
Yeah, it was just sitting there. They got their shipment in already, and they sold it to me.
Yeah, those guys don't know what they're doing some of the times.
Yeah.
Cool, yeah, that's about it for that one. I mean,
so everybody, don't give your hopes up. Don't count your chickens yet. It will happen. Give it time.
They'd be kind of dumb to be not working on some sort of Donkey Kong game for the system right now. So yeah. I'm sure that something's going on, but we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. So let's see. Next item of news is that actually Epic's Mark Rain, he was talking to IGN, or not to IGN specifically, but to at GDC this year, and he said it had a lot of nice things to say about the Wii U. I guess he's seen it, and the Epic's engine, the Unreal Engine, is actually running on the console. So yeah, that's pretty exciting that a big company like Epic that makes video game engines is excited about Wii U.
And embracing it, yeah.
Yeah, because that means that hopefully their newest tech will run on the console, and then everybody will be able to make the newer games on the Wii U, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's pretty cool to see all these big engines like really start embracing the 3DS, because the technology...
No, this is Wii U.
Or the Wii U, I'm sorry. I'm really high on... drugs right now.
Yeah.
So if I say something stupid, I'm sorry. I just want to apologize beforehand.
You need a nap is what you need.
Yeah, right. my God, what were we talking about? Oh, Wii U and Epic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really good to see them embrace the Wii U and Nintendo finally, instead of kind of rushing games out that are on the other systems and then just putting them on the Wii and it being a total joke. You know, they can really focus on making a really solid title for it,
right?
Which is really, really cool.
Yeah,
so I'm pretty excited.
It's gonna be cool to see what comes out in the first wave of Wii U games.
You know what I was thinking? So we have the three big boys, right? You have Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony. And me as a gamer, I usually kind of gear towards buying it if it's out for all three systems. I usually gear on buying it for the 360.
Right.
Just because I feel like it's a little bit better of a gameplay experience, and you know, I mean, it's more solid of a game. Now with the Wii U coming out and how all these really big, you know, these big boys are going towards them with their engines and their games and stuff and making some pretty solid stuff, it's going to be really hard for me to pick which one I really want to buy the game for.
Right. So, especially if the Wii U can use like things that are unique to the console, like obviously the tablet, what they're going to do with it, or if it's just going to be a straight port and
has
like a map on the tablet or, you know.
Now, I'm no pactor, but I believe that Sony is going to have to like really bump it up here pretty soon, because their Vita is really not doing that well, and the PS3 has always been like second in line, and now it's going to drop down into third when I go buy a game. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I don't know. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that Nintendo has a bright future as long as their is that third party support. I think that's what the Wii was missing, except for like the first 2 or 3 years of the console's life cycle.
Right.
And that's what Wii U needs to maintain throughout its entire, you know, basically existence. Look at the Xbox 360. That's almost, what are we, 5 years, 6 years out from the launch of that?
Yeah, somewhere around there. And it's still surviving, and, you know.
And, yeah, a lot of the great games are still coming out on it. So.
And either Nintendo's reps are really good at keeping their mouth shut, because they're not really, you know, they're hinting towards a newer console coming out and stuff, but it's nothing huge like what Nintendo's doing. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it seems like it's still got a really long lifespan ahead of it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, let's see what kind of tech that the Wii can push out. I mean, if it's going to be, even if it's anywhere close to being what's possible on like a higher end PC, I don't know if you've seen you have a higher end PC.
I have a higher end. Yeah. Nice try, Cowboy.
Well, but I know, have you played any like really games that, you play Battlefield, huh?
Yeah.
That's supposed to like really push the system.
Yep. So. Those fans are going really fast when I play that game.
So yeah, if it could get anywhere close to that, what you can get on a really nice PC with everything turned on, all the anti-aliasing, all that fun stuff, then yeah, it'll be I'm game.
Yeah, it'll be really cool.
So yeah, you want to move on to the
absolutely, Eugene.
Tell me.
So you know that I'm a Lego fan.
Yes, I think I knew that. Pretty sure I knew that. Mm-hmm.
You're a Lego fan?
Oh, yeah. I love Legos.
Let me hold on 1 second.
Alicia, are you a Lego fan?
My wife said yes.
Everybody loves Legos.
Everybody loves Legos. And somebody came up with the great idea of bringing Nintendo and Legos together
and
made a Game Boy, an original Game Boy out of Legos that transforms into a Transformer.
It's actually pretty ingenious.
Yeah, and if they're selling these, that's going to be my son's first Lego set.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
It's cool because it's got everything, like everything's made out of Legos. The
Even the batteries are.
Yeah, the batteries, the cartridge. It's great. So
that's not really news. I just felt like I should put that on there.
That's actually pretty amazing.
That's like the most important news of the night, actually. I'm pretty sure. screw Donkey Kong 3D.
Yeah, sorry, Donkey Kong.
So, Pactor, did you see that coming? I don't think so.
So, Coda Princess, 3DS game, I don't know if you've seen it before.
I did see it just now.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of your standard fare, beat 'em up, basically, it looks like. It looks to have some RPG elements and whatnot, but it is very decisively Japanese. I mean, the Japanese is in every bone in its body. You just look at the character art, and you're like, yep, someone in Japan made that.
Someone in Kyoto made that.
So,
some samurai in Kyoto made that game.
Yeah, so who knows if it's going to be coming to the United States just for that factor alone. So, but it looks really cool. It looks like a pretty competent beat-em-up type game with a lot of RPG elements in it. So if it ever comes to the United States, sign me up. What do you think about it? Did you look at that video at all? Or
maybe just put my first name down. I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, I don't know why. There's just something about it that I just doesn't really appeal to me.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. I'm a very happy man when it comes to good beat 'em ups. You know, I'll even dip down to play Dynasty Warriors Gundam if I have to.
Yeah.
But there's just something about this that maybe it's just too Japanese for me, I guess. I don't know, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be a good game. It seems like it's going to be more confusing than anything. Because, I mean, the gameplay looks cool and stuff, but I can't imagine, like, the RPG element, and I don't know, there's just something about the game that
turned me off. I'll buy it, and then you can play
it. And then I'll try it, yeah. Buy it and try it.
That's right. Unless, maybe there'll be a demo for it. That'd be actually a problem.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
What's
it coming out for, the 3DS?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so look for that if you're interested at all. It'll be out in Japan later this year, but no word on if it's ever coming to the United States, unfortunately.
Yeah. I guess we'll move on to the next and final bit of news for tonight. I don't know if any of you have been living under a rock for the past, how long has that game been out? 20 years?
No, not 20. Not quite 20. I'd probably go more along the line of 15.
Okay. If you've been living under a rock for the last 15 years, you play a little game called GoldenEye.
It's true.
And it took 15 years for a gentleman to beat one of the levels. I believe it's the factory level.
I think he bossed through the whole game.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Well, this was like a timed run. The video that I saw was a timed run on the factory level.
Oh, okay.
And he did it with a Gran Turismo steering wheel.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And the pedals. He was aiming with the pedals. That's what I was reading.
Yeah,
so
that's it. Anybody who's hardcore enough to play a first-person shooter.
And he did it, dude. Like, and he did it.
He's on my good list.
Like, I think it was like a total of like 3 minutes or 4 minutes to beat the whole level. Something stupid. Like, I couldn't even do that with a regular controller.
That's actually pretty cool. I was thinking about maybe trying to beat Mass Effect with my drum set from
Rock Band. That's a good idea. I'm going to play some Gran Turismo 6 with my microphone.
Yeah. That'd be
that should work out well, right?
Car left, accelerate.
Accelerate, brake.
No, that's
power
connect.
Slide,
that's
drift.
Connect, dude.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Well, it can't read me when I'm sitting down. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sit down, it stops working, so.
Can't and it won't read you for obvious reasons.
Yeah, because I know where you're going with this.
Are we not allowed to say it? Stop.
No, we can talk, but anyways, so that's about that for the GoldenEye 007 thing. Yep. Are you planning on doing anything else with that?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever do
I'll
this.
I'll play a racing game with a steering wheel. How's that sound?
You need to get another steering wheel for your racing games.
Well, I didn't have it. I never had one, dude. I had that Ace Combat
flight stick, yeah.
Flight stick. That thing was epic.
Well, do you want to talk about what you're playing at the moment?
Absolutely.
What are you playing?
Is this just like strictly Nintendo related, or is it?
Well, let's start Nintendo related, and then we'll go off to, you know, what else?
I started Tales of the Abyss.
Okay, yeah, I think you said that last podcast, but you hadn't really played much of it.
I just turned it on, but now I started it, and the gameplay, like the actual like fighting sequences and stuff are really cool.
Yeah.
It's a really fun game. It's like, it's a beat-em-up with an RPG element that really works.
Right.
So it's really, really cool. The only, I guess like one of the, there's two downsides to the game, really. The 3DS, or the 3D element in it, is a little bit choppy at times.
Right.
Like, it kind of hurts my eyes, and I've never had that issue with any other 3D game on the system.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, because it's like I find myself playing that game with the 3D slider down.
Yeah, like it seems like the lines in the game are almost splintered. And that's what really kind of throws off the effect.
Well, you can definitely tell that it wasn't developed for the 3DS.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah.
Because it's just a PS2 game that they added 3D into kind of poorly. But, I mean, it's there. So
yeah.
You don't have to use it if you don't want to, but it's there if you want it.
Yeah. The second thing that I really, really think is atrocious is the voiceovers.
Oh, my gosh. It's really bad. You should switch it to Japanese.
I'm definitely going to, like, tomorrow.
I mean, I don't know for sure if you can in that game, but I would imagine you could. So, and then
I'll check and see. I'm sure you can, because it is awful.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But I mean, that's how it, you know, par for the course for JRPGs usually. Unfortunately, that's how it goes.
Well, that's the thing is, like, if you've had stuff that's been on the PS2, like the dot series, you know, the dot hack. Yeah, those were done really well. I just don't understand like how you get that lazy with the voiceover.
Well, I don't think it's lazy. I think it's just they kind of probably knew their target audience, and then localizing it with voice was probably not their
priority, just
because it's so expensive, you know what I mean?
I just find that so ridiculous, because the thing is they want to localize a game like that, and then it totally kills it for the – this is what turns off the audience that they're trying to reach out to.
True.
And it doesn't make sense to me. I would spend the extra money because, I mean, the Tales games are great. Like I said, that fighting mechanic in it is something that I've never really messed around with in a RPG like that.
Right.
And to bring it onto a handheld is even better, but then it's just like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
who wrote this? This is awful.
Well, I think it's has a lot to do with the fact that it's kind of been there, done that with at least that game. I mean, I feel like I've played JRPG games like that 100 times before.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, but that's the thing. Like I said, the bread and butter of this game is definitely, if you're a big fan of RPGs and you like different fighting mechanics,
yeah,
definitely check this out.
Yeah, it's cool because it kind of feels sort of Street Fighter-esque. I mean, did you ever get that when you were playing?
Yeah, not really Street Fighter-esque. I kind of got, how do I explain this? I don't even, like I said, dude, it's nothing I've really like done before, so I can't really even compare it to something.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
Have you unlocked many of the arts?
No. I'm like, I just got to the part where, like, you end up following the river downstream or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, just sorry. Yeah, I want to, you know, I'll definitely dally with it more. I just really haven't, I'm going to lie and say I haven't played a lot of games, but I have. But they haven't been Nintendo games.
Well, that's cool. So you played, that was the really your only...
That was the only 3DS game that I've played. My Wii's still collecting dust.
You need to download some eShop titles, son.
I know, I should. Oh, I did play Four Swords.
Oh, yeah, the free one? That one's pretty cool. We should play that one together.
I'm down. I'm down like a clown, Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's way better with a friend.
Is it?
Yes, sir.
I've heard that.
Yeah, that's usually how life goes, I think, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. What about your non-Nintendo games?
My non-Nintendo games are composed of The Saboteur and FIFA.
Yep. You practicing?
No, I've just been trying to get farther in the campaign, just try and knock it out and get the achievement and be done with it.
The one for, like, what, playing 70 hours on the pitch or something like that?
There's that one, playing 50 times with your creative character. Oh, and I think it's like win a cup in your division or whatever, in your league or whatever.
Right.
So we'll see if I get them.
Yeah, those ones could potentially take a long time, I would
imagine. Well, I mean, the Eder division, the division that I'm playing in, is the Dutch league.
Yeah.
There's like 500 games, because there's so many freaking teams in that league.
Yeah.
So it's like so dumb. I'm almost done, though.
Well, that's
good. I've got like maybe 10 more games.
And I think that what that game does well is that it kind of keeps you drawn in just by playing the season mode over and over and over and over and over again. I don't kind of get tired of that. I don't know if you get that same feeling.
I can tell you from playing each game instead of like just trying to, you know, simulate through them.
Yeah.
It's definitely a lot more daunting and a little bit more stressful and frustrating.
Yeah, because I will sim like almost a quarter of the season. Yeah, I don't really want to play that game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. See, I'm trying. I think there's an achievement for doing that too, and
For playing a whole season without like, simming a game.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't really know if I want to simulate, but just do yourself a favor and simulate it.
The achievement's not worth it.
Probably not.
But you're already.
I've got 10 more games left, and I'm good. So
if you sim now, it's like
it's over. Yeah, just break the disc in half.
Cool.
Other than that, the Saboteur.
Yeah, tell me
about that. My goodness, that game's really fun.
So is this one of the ones you bought, or is it a Gamefly one?
It's a Gamefly.
Okay.
And it's really, really, really good. Have you played it before?
I think I might have turned it on for a couple of hours, but I didn't really get very deep into it.
Yeah? Is that what she said?
Easy.
That was a good one.
That was.
It's like Assassin's Creed meets... like the good World War II Call of Duties, I guess, meets like Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, okay.
It's really, really cool. It's really good. And
Does it have any co-op at all?
I don't think so. I think it's just a strictly single-player game.
Yeah.
But like, it takes place in Paris, and you're this guy who basically goes around with like the French Resistance, just mm-hmm. taking out like, you know, like the main story is obviously whatever. I don't really mess around with it yet. But right. There's like really cool side. Like one of the things is. Like, in order to take back the city, everywhere there's, like, a checkpoint with, like, a heavy armored vehicle or maybe a watchtower with a sniper in it or a spotlight. And these are all – or, like, a fuel depot. And these are all spread around the city, and you, like, you have an opportunity to, like, sneak up on a guard, take his uniform, and then, like, sneak into the compound.
Yeah.
And plant explosives on everything and then sneak back out or whatever.
Oh,
and
so So it's kind of like first-person shootery, but then it's also have like this element of like strategy, I suppose.
Yeah, it's over the shoulder. It's third person, just like.
Oh, okay.
But it's really cool.
Yeah.
The amount of strategy involved just to do like the small things in the city, and you earn money that way. It's really, really cool. They did a really good job on it, and like the places in the city that aren't aren't freed.
Yeah.
It's all in black and white, so like the artistic direction changes constantly throughout the game.
Yeah, except you were telling me that. You're almost done with it, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to... Dude, there's literally like 3,000 side missions to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like a quarter of the way done with the actual story.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if you guys are, you know, once you guys are done playing your Nintendo games, definitely pick that one up, because it's really, really good. It's really cool. It's loaded with a ton of content.
Right. Well, that's cool. Maybe it'll somehow, probably not, but get a Wii U port.
That'd be awesome. Well, I don't think it's a good example of like showing how good the Wii U is.
Yeah.
It's not pretty by any means. I mean, it's definitely dated as far as the graphics are concerned. And the Assassin's Creed part's cool because you can like climb on buildings and stuff, but it's definitely a lot more choppy than the Assassin's Creed titles are. So it's, you know, I mean, it does have, don't get me wrong, the game has its quirks and its bugs. It's definitely, the good stuff outweighs it for sure.
Right. Well, sweet. Sounds good. Well, yeah. I've only played a couple of Nintendo games, but a couple of them are big ones. I'm going to bring this one to your house, by the way, Mario Party 9.
I'm excited!
Yeah, let's do that. Let's play have a Mario Party 9 night one of these days. Yeah, but you know, you play the Mario Party games, you know what to expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's more of the same. Little mini games. It's got a pretty familiar gameplay, but that's alright, because they're all pretty fun, so.
Is the AI still super smart and like gets like 5 gold stars before?
See, I can never tell if the AI is super smart or if the game is cheating for the AI. So I'll hold my no. But right now I have only played it a little bit. It's not fun playing by yourself. So
Yeah, bring it over. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Cool. What else have you been playing?
Yeah, I played a little bit of Mario Party. I played some. I bought Star Fox, actually, so I was been playing that.
Oh, yeah.
You got so me excited fun, about it? That. Yeah.
Have you played it? It's so
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah, dude. I've beaten it at least 3 times. I beat it the really easy route and the really hard route and then some just random route.
Yeah, like, oh, it's so good. I love that game. So, yeah. I love that part where you have to fight the, like, robot in that it's like a giant ditch. And it basically gives you, like, free roam in the ship to fly around and stuff.
Oh, man, yeah.
It just transverses, like, it's so easy for the game to do that, and then it switches back to, like, the rail shooter, and it's so good. It's so balanced. I love that game.
Yeah, it's good. It does everything right. I mean, it's got a tank. It's got a submarine. I mean, come on. What else do you want?
I don't know. What else do I want?
Yeah, you tell me, sir. No, and then other than that, I was just playing a couple of eShop games. I downloaded Fun Mini Golf Touch.
I heard it's horrible.
It is, but yep. I bought it because...
You wasted $5.
Yeah, well, it's just $5, whatever. I've probably already gotten $5 worth out of it anyway, so it's cool. I don't feel burned or anything, but it's just not that good. And then I downloaded what's that game called? Punch-Out. There we go. And I've been playing some Punch-Out.
Is it a port or is it like a
No, it's like NES Punch-Out.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, I love Punch-Out, so.
Game's awesome.
It's I don't know. It's always had a soft spot for me. I can almost beat that game. Mr. Dream at the very end is a jerk. Well,
that's my name. That's what the ladies call me.
Mike Tyson if you have the original.
I'm Mike Tyson.
So, yeah, I played that and then Last Story.
Oh, how's that?
It's warming up. I'm warming up to it. I'm starting to really dig the combat and the story is kind of picking up a little bit. But I still like Xenoblade better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you were saying last podcast too.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going to finish this game.
And then after the last story it's going to be the final story, final story.
the last story and beyond.
And then the next one's going to be We Promise This Is the Last One.
We Promise Last Story 13.
Yeah, right. Okay, we swear this time.
So yeah, that's about it there. And then I beat Mass Effect for the 360.
Oh, you did beat it?
Oh yeah, I beat it.
Did you die and did you crash into a star?
In fact, my character did end up dying at the end.
Into a star, right?
No, he didn't crash into a star. I don't think I'm going to spoil it right now because
a nebula?
This game is like not even a week old. No, it's a week old yesterday, actually.
Yep, so you can spoil it for everybody.
No. No, I'm not going to about to spoil a 30-hour game. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, I hate Nintendo. Right. But no, yeah, it's good. It's not any spoiler that you can die at the end.
Okay, so give me a 1 out of 10 on it. I'm really curious.
If I had to rate it on a 10-point scale, I'd probably give it probably a 9 or an 8.5.
Wow, yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it concludes the story that if you...
Well, that's good. I guess that's the important part is that they did end it properly, unlike Halo.
And even though I didn't get the best ending that you can get, apparently, I'm very satisfied with the way that I got my ending, how my Shepard concluded his story over the 3 games. So I really still think you should pick up Mass Effect 2. You'll like that game a lot. It plays a lot just like a Gears of War Z type shooter as opposed to the first one.
Yeah, the first one was awful.
I think you'll dig it, though. No, I like the first one, but...
Did
you
say that the third one's had a couple bugs in it, though?
No, I haven't run into any bugs. Just my save that I had to.
Oh, have. That's right. That's what it was. Yeah. My mistake.
No, but it's run fine. I haven't had any slowdown issues or anything like that. It's good. And yeah, that's about it. I played Mass Effect and just some Xbox Live Arcade titles like Geometry Wars 2 and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, you beat my score, huh?
I beat it, huh?
I'm a little mad. I might have to play that tomorrow.
Yep, cool. So that's about it for that. Do you want to go into the emails?
Absolutely.
So we talked
the first one. Okay, you can say it.
Well, no, I was gonna say we've really gotten a couple of good emails this last week, which is really good. I'm glad that you guys are sending them in and commenting on the posts and stuff like that. So yeah, go ahead and read the first one.
This is from Wii U fan Thomas, previously Pokemaster Thomas. He was wondering where we got our music and what we thought about the Pokemon X. I'm not going to slaughter that dude's name. And then we already talked about the 3D. Nobunaga's. No, Nobunaga. There we go. Pokemon X Nobunaga. I can't.
Nobunaga's ambition.
Nobunaga, yeah. Well, Eugene, you can first off say where you get the music.
I really just search YouTube because there's music there everywhere, and then I'll try and find a song that I like and download it. And yeah, that's how you guys get your music on the front and the back end of the podcast.
That's where the music should always be.
Yeah. the front or the back end or both.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm. Simultaneously makes a nice podcast sandwich.
Yep. Amen. Amen to that. As far as the Pokemon X Nobunaga dude, whatever the heck that, I don't, who comes up with that name? Like,
well, Nobunaga is it's a pretty big franchise in Japan, and it's really weird to see Pokemon collaborating with whatever this is. I still don't understand what this game is exactly.
Yeah,
three trailers.
Yeah, you know what it kind of reminds me of? It almost looks like a Super Robot Wars like rendition, like of all the characters and stuff. Yeah. It was weird. It was really, really weird. Like. They just collaborated a bunch of people, like random characters in it, and then that's it.
And here's your Pokemon.
And there's your Pokemon. I think that in all honesty, I love the art direction that it's going in.
Yeah.
As far as the way that it looks and looks like it plays, I think it's going to be total trash.
Yeah. Well, I have no idea. I kind of want to get my hands on it. Let's see what it's.
Yeah. It almost looks like a Final Fantasy Tactics game to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's a really good fit for Pokemon. I'd like to see them kind of stick to the traditional fights, but maybe just not do canned battle animations,
right?
And stick to their art direction.
Yeah.
Not this. I don't think this is going to work very well. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I'm going to pactor it and say that this is their Dreamcast.
Yeah. This is Nintendo's Dreamcast. This is the end.
This is Pokemon's Dreamcast.
No, it's going to be, I wish that it was coming to the United States just so I can kind of enjoy it or whatever I would do with it, because it looks to have kind of experience it.
To dinner.
Yeah, or something, right? Compliment its hair.
No. Hey, hey Nobunaga.
Yeah, I just want to know what it is basically. They got me excited about trying to figure that out, but yeah, the more and more I look at it, I guess it kind of is just a tactics type.
Anytime I see Cross in the name, I always think of like Tekken versus Street Fighter.
Yeah.
So maybe like we'll see some Ryu in there and stuff. It'd be really cool.
Ryu and maybe Chun-Li and her thighs.
Her thunder thighs.
So yeah, that's what we think about that. We don't really know what we think about that, I guess. That's the best.
Well, I know what I think about it. I love the art. Like I said, I love the art style, but I just don't think, judging by what it looks like as far as the gameplay is concerned.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really.
Yeah, well, so Ron wrote in this week, and he said, what's your favorite Nintendo franchise? So that's kind of a really tough
Nintendo would be mine.
Question. Yeah, like all of them. No, I'd probably have to say Zelda for me, just because I really love the Zelda games. But Nintendo has so much. I mean, how are you going to ignore Mario and Pokemon out of that? I don't know. What do you think?
It's a really tough call for me. I'd probably, can I say Super Smash Bros? Does that count?
No, that's everything. That's cheating. I guess Super Smash Bros could do it. I mean, it's a fighting game, and it's got all your Nintendo characters.
Probably, okay, so if I can't say that.
No, you could. I mean, if you like Super Smash Bros, that technically is a Nintendo franchise.
Yeah, if not that, definitely Zelda, hands down.
Yeah.
I mean, It's sad to say that neither one of us likes Super Mario that much. I'm saying he's like top two, top three, but he's not number one, and he's like the fanboy.
He used to be.
Link. Ones. Link's my number one.
Yeah, it's his green tunic.
It's his.
His boomerang, his hookshot, like all
the hookshot. I'm a big fan of the hookshot.
Yeah, I like Navi myself. Spirit. No, not Navi. I'm lying.
Hey,
listen. So, yeah.
Thank you, Ron. That was a great question. Yep. Keep them coming.
I want to read the next one that was actually on the post for the site.
Yeah, so in case you guys haven't checked our delicious podcast, last podcast that we posted on Infendo, we had a person named MLove99, or MLove99. he or she, I'm not too sure, wrote a very good article about gaming versus reading and had the argument that gaming's a little bit more interactive and better than actually reading. And he had some, he or she had some very, very strong arguments to it, saying how that, you know, a game is both you're receiving it and you're also making decisions. It's an all around type thing where with a book, you're just basically gathering information.
Yeah,
and that's it. Yeah.
Because gaming is interactive, you know, yeah, I mean, there's exactly. Not really another medium that's like that.
I know this sounds really cheeky and dumb, but when I was a little kid, I remember the book. Do you remember the Goosebumps?
R.L. Stine, my friend.
Yes. Okay. Do you remember the books where, like, after you'd read the page or the chapter, it'd say, like, turn left here.
Oh, yeah, like the Choose Your Own Adventure ones?
Yeah, and then turn to page.
Yeah,
to
I do.
So I feel like it's a good argument, but I feel like it can be done by books if it's done well enough.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, another good argument that he or she brought up was winning and losing. You never win a book. You just finish it, and that's
right.
It. This teaches you to win, you know, winning or losing and how to get over that issue.
Yeah.
I agree.
Imagine if, like, there was a Choose Your Own Adventure by, like, Stephen King, or if, Dan Brown did a Choose Your Own Adventure.
That'd be pretty
like
epic.
That.
Or, like, Max Brooks, the guy who did the Zombie Survival Guide in World War Z.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
There'd be some really cool Choose Your Own Adventure books. But at the same time, I mean, that would work way better, and I think it'd be a lot more fun if it were a video game.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, who's not to say that video games can't be educational? I mean, there are some out there, and there's some really decent ones that are super fun.
Yeah.
So,
turn to page 22 to reload your weapon.
Yeah. Too late, you died. I think that if books were going to do the same thing, it should explode on impact, like when you flip the page around.
Yeah. It should have little fireworks inside the pages.
But yeah. in all seriousness, What do you think about it? What do you think about the difference between the two mediums, the pros and cons, or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously reading is ageless. I mean, I'm going to read probably just as much as I play video games, I'm going to read a lot of books and stuff like this. But I think the way that people are reading has changed also, because I don't read it. I haven't read a book in, like, I don't know, 3 years. I'll read a book on my Kindle or on my Kindle app, you know. But so I think that's made me want to read a little bit more. And I think that there's a lot of room to grow in that with electronic books now. Like if Amazon were to, like, maybe have, like, an achievement system or something like that. I read an article about this. What if every time you read a chapter, you got, like, 10 Kindle points or something like that. That'd be
KPs.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool. That would probably compel people to read, you know, if they were getting achievements for it or something.
I think it would be not even achievements. I think it'd be cool if, like, if maybe Amazon noticed, like, how many books you're reading or what type of books you're reading, and you're reading enough of them, maybe they give you a specific percentage off because they see that you're constantly buying books, knocking them out of the park in a week, and then here's a 50% off coupon for your next book.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Stuff like that. I think that now that it's, like, transferred over to the digital area,
mm-hmm.
it's a win-lose. You know me, dude. I love my boxes.
Yeah,
I
forgot. No, I forgot. So that's probably why you don't own a Kindle right now.
Well, my wife gave me her old one because I bought her a new one.
Oh, yeah. She got the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, she got the Kindle Fire. So I have the old one, and it's just collecting dust in shelf right now.
As it should.
And don't get me wrong, like, I have the Kindle app on my phone, and that's where I've read the last three books of mine.
Yeah.
But it's, for me, man, it's just not the same.
Turn those pages.
I want to turn the pages. I want to smell the book. I want to smell the ink. You know what I mean? Like, I want to have that feeling of the book in my hands, the weight of the book.
Right. But, and you know what? And then at the same time, I guess that makes sense, because if chosen between doing that, like reading a book like on my Kindle or something, or playing a video game that has the same kind of story elements that I can read, I'll choose that.
You'd want to play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing is I think it's a good argument, and I think that it's a good thing to bring up because they are becoming more similar just because of them being converted to digital form and everything like that, and with
right.
the talk of an achievement system or something like that.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen, but somebody was – I don't remember
that would be cool.
That article. It just makes sense. You know, it would be really awesome.
You know who wrote it? Pachter.
Yeah. he's all over these idea space.
He's never going to listen to this podcast ever again if he's a real person and he listens to us.
No, I'm sure that Pachter has never listened to us, but if you do, Michael, hey Michael, here.
Check this out.
Vendo Radio
Here's
boy.
What I think about you. Yeah, like I said, I'm more of a box guy, a box art guy, box guy.
Yeah.
I think you, but at the same time, it's difficult to say because then you're getting charged an extra $10 for the freaking hardback cover.
Yeah. You can get, not on release day, but like, you know, a couple of months afterwards, you can get books really cheap, like as low as like $2, $3, $4, you know, for like books that are bestsellers, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Good question, Emlov. I like it. Keep them coming.
Yeah, and, keep those questions coming, folks.
Check out, he's also, I'm going to just do a shameless plug for him because it was a good one. He has a blog out called Random Stuff About Gaming called Save and Continue.
Yeah.
.blogspot.com. So check that out if you guys want to do read the article. It's pretty good. He already shamelessly plugged it on our website without telling us. So
giving him a bad shameless plug back. Makes sense.
Yep. That's how we do.
Cool. Sounds good. And that's really all the emails this week. We appreciate you guys sending those emails in. Like again, tips@infendo.com if you want to send us an email or
coming because these are good.
Yeah, or post on just on the actual post, and we'll, you know, we look it over, we read it, we respond, so.
And by the way, it is up on iTunes, the podcast, so please, please, please give us the 5 stars, all of them.
We need your stars. We have, did you read our two iTunes ratings we've gotten since we've gone on air?
No, I did not. What did they say?
Here, give me a sec to pull it up.
Sorry, we're just showboating right now, everybody.
Right. So yeah, we actually got 3 reviews on iTunes now. So that's pretty good. I mean, keep those reviews coming, folks. Except for Jay, because he gave us a bad review. It hurt my feelings, Jay.
Jay.
5002. So he wrote, Blake, I miss you. Derek, please come back. The new hosts need you. Yeah, we love Blake and Derek too, guys. But come on, give us a shot. We're doing the best we can. Huh?
When did he put February 20th? That was our first one, wasn't it?
Maybe we really, really were terrible in the beginning. Okay, Jay, I want you to write us a review again on iTunes, or you can just email us and tell us how we've done since our first episode. Please.
Por favor.
You want to read the other two?
Yeah. PretzelBoy23, brilliant name, said, great podcast, glad it's back with a exclamation mark, smiley face.
Yeah, that's what we need, all your smiley faces and stars.
Although I will miss the old host, Blake and Derek, these two new guys are a good substitute. You can tell they really care about the topic.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you, Pretzel Boy.
We love appreciate your pretzels.
That. Roll, we appreciate roll. That. Keep listening, please. Please. And if you get a chance, go on the website and give us some good questions and all that good stuff, and we'll be happy to talk about it. And then Triforce Man Zero said, Infendo's back, baby, with a bunch of exclamation marks.
And that was just today.
Today.
Thank you, Travis, man.
Yes, we appreciate that. And this isn't even up yet.
Yeah.
He knows. He knows.
He's ready for it. He knows that we're talking about him. So basically, you're in the future, Triforce Man. By the time you listen to this, we'll have already seen your post, and you're going to be a time traveler today.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the future, sir.
And with that, I think we're out. Chris has a Twitter now. I'll post it on the again. What is it? ZKS_Chris?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Infendo Eugene on Twitter. Nintendoons. Please go to infendo.com and comment on our posts and all that fun stuff.
Everybody, cross your fingers. Hopefully, I'll be posting some of my own goodies
for Infendo. That'd be
and Nintendoons. So
keep an eye out for that. I look forward to it, Chris.
Okay.
All right. So
I look forward to it, Eugene.
Hey, make sure that that you guys are coming back if you want some more. So bye, guys, and we'll
see you next time. Good adios, Infendoites, Infendians.